came to you with my heart in pieces and found the God with healing in his hands. I turned to you, put everything behind me, and found the God who makes all things new. I look to you, drowning in my questions, and found the God who holds all wisdom. And I trusted you, I stepped out on the ocean. You caught my hand among the waves, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, but you stay the same, 'cause you're the God of all my days. I ran from you, I wandered in the shadows, and found the God who relentlessly pursues. I hid from you, haunted by my failures, and found the God whose grace still covers me. I fell on you when I was at my weakest, and found the God, the lifter of my head. And I worshipped you and felt you right beside me. You're the reason that I see, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, but you stay the same. You're the God of all my days. In my worry, God, you are my stillness. In my searching, God, you are my answer. In my blindness, God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my freedom. In my weakness, God, you are my power. You're the reason that I sing, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, but you stay the same. You're the God of all my days. You're the God of all my days. You're the God of all my days. God, you are my stillness. In my search, God, you are my answer. In my blindness, God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my freedom. In my weakness, God, you are my power. You're the reason that I sing, 'cause you're the God of all my day. You step by day, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My seasons change, but you stay the same. You're the God of all my days. Oh, you're the God of all my days. I'm
so thankful for the Lord, aren't you? Oh, what a mighty God is He. He is a mighty God. He loves you. He loves His children with an everlasting love. Amen. And He loves the world to the point that He's not willing that any should perish. What a mighty God. What an almighty Father. Amen. And He has His love set, the Bible says, on you. Tonight He's mindful about you. Oh, glory. It says that He knows everything, every thought of your heart, and He's concerned about it. Oh, what a message. Amen. The Lord wants to encourage us tonight. We're going to use some scriptures that we used Wednesday night, and then we're going to go a little deeper. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. But while you're turning there, I want you to contemplate this question. What would you do tonight if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you do tonight if you knew that you couldn't fail? The Lord wants to build our confidence in Him, because you realize that we know a lot of Scripture, but it's not what we know, it's what we put into practice. The Bible says that not one of His promises will fail. It says that with God, all things are possible. Everything that you do and everything that you say, you go with God. So the Lord wants to reprogram our mind to get us in the place and the position that you have not only God the Father on your side, not only Jesus the Lamb, the Lord of your life, but Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to send another Comforter. And He would abide with you in the tough times. And when things got harder, He might leave. So, you can't fail tonight. Amen? All right. Let's look at some things here. Matthew chapter 25. Verse number 14. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 14. When you're there, say amen. The Word of God says, this is Jesus teaching, and look what He says. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants, say that's me, who called his own servants, and he delivered unto them his goods. Verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, according to his own several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now let's stop right there. And straightway took his journey. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes.
Still reminds us to be able to focus upon you and be able to put that word deep within our hearts, Lord, so it can come out in the later times.
Yes.
For us in these times, Father. And I forgive you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much for honoring the Word of God. Thank you, Brother Donnie, for your prayer. So tonight, you and I, we're in a unique position. We're in the position where that Jesus Christ said that the kingdom of heaven was likened as unto this, that there was going to be goods that was going to be gave to each one of his children. That's you. That's me. And he said, I'm going to bestow my goods upon you because I have confidence in you. Now, we don't take time to read the whole parable. You're very familiar with the parable. But if you notice, no one was left out. Every person was given a gifting, given a good to work, a talent to bring forth and to produce out of their life by the anointing of God. And so tonight, you may look at, you know, a brother or sister and look at them, if you're not careful, and sin. Because when you get your eyes off of Jesus, I'm sorry, it's a sin. Because we get to looking at one another and we won't do what God tells us to do because we think somebody else is more qualified. That's not true. Jesus gave you goods. He gave me goods. Not one of his children was left out. And then he gave us the ability to produce with those goods. Tonight, you're productive. Tonight, you can do what nobody else can do. Amen? And you've been authorized from heaven to be able to do it. So we need to understand how we can produce fruit for the kingdom of God. Fruit that's everlasting. Fruit that is life-changing, not only in our own life, but that will come into this community, into your household, and out of your household, and reach people who don't know the good things of God. Amen? So that's what we're going to talk about. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1. Now, the Apostle Paul here, he is telling the church at Corinth, he's encouraging them and lifting them up, and he says, "We then as workers together with him," now mark that down in your Bible, "beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain," or emptily. Don't receive it emptily. Let it be the fullness in your life. Because he wants us to know that you and I are working with the Lord and the Lord's working with us. Now, that changes the whole perspective. Because if I realize that when I put my hand to what I feel the unction in my heart to do, that Jesus' hand's already there, that gives me confidence. And if I keep my mind stayed upon him and on the reality that out of the mouth of Jesus in the Gospels, and three of the four Gospels says, with God, all things are possible. And all I got to do is believe. Just take him at his word. And if I take him at his word, he said the grace of God would do an operation in my life. It would do an operation through my life. And so tonight I want you to know that with the giftings that God has gave you, and with Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit working in you and through you, that the grace of God is going to carry you to where you need to be. Carry you to the place of success. There is no way you can go under. There's no way you can fail. Because we're not looking at the result through natural eyes. We're not looking at the result as the way the world gauges or judges it. We're looking by the Spirit. You know, we could look a lot of times and we could say, well, we've been here 2 years, basically. Why ain't this place full? We're not looking at numbers. We're looking at people's lives who's been touched. People who have been changed. And so we're going to talk about this tonight. So I want you to get in there with me because we need to see that there's more than just salvation. Thank God for salvation. But God wants to anoint you because of His grace by the Holy Ghost to serve Him. And if you and I will keep developing in that anointing, if we'll keep yielding to that anointing, He is going to take us to places that we've only dreamed about. Amen? You believe that tonight? So I'm here tonight by the Spirit of God just to build your faith in that and to build an anticipation and an expectation in your life, but starting here with mine. Amen? All right, let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Some of the greatest teaching Jesus done is after the communion supper, before his trip to the cross. But in John chapter 14, let's start in verse number 15. John 14 and 15. Now notice what the Word of God says. It says, out of the mouth of Jesus, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, the Amplified does a better job on this. In reality, what this says in the Greek, if you love me, not you will keep my commandments, but you'll be empowered by that love to be able to do it. Because, see, immediately we put the emphasis on ourselves and on the flesh. And I don't know about you, but I know how weak I am. But the love of God is being continually shed abroad in your heart, in my heart. And he said because of that love that God put in there in the first place, that we would keep his commandments. Now, we got to put any lie of the devil down, because immediately the devil starts bringing up all of these things. We concentrate on one thing at a time. Amen? Because Jesus never browbeats us. He never discourages us. He always shows us the next step. Amen? All right, now notice. Now, look at this. I know you know the Word, but let's read it together. He said, because that you love me, and that love is operating in your life, and that you are keeping my commandments because of that love. Look at verse 16. He said, and I will pray the Father. Now, just think about this. The greatest intercessor of all time, Jesus Christ, is praying to the Father about you. Before church tonight, in your prayer time and in my prayer time, Jesus had prayer time with the Father about this service. And you're here hungry. We preached on dedication this morning. How many people did we lose between this morning and tonight? But you're here. And God's going to give you a message that's going to empower you. Amen? So I want you to, just in your mind's eye, I want you to see Jesus on the right hand of the Father praying for you and I tonight. Now notice what he prayed. And I will pray the Father, and because I prayed, he might. Any question about it? He shall what? Oh, glory. Because Jesus prayed. Now, see, if we're not careful, we look at that and we think, oh, it's salvation. I was born of the Spirit, and the Spirit drawed me and come up inside of me and joined my spirit. And yes, that's true. Or then, if we've moved to the next level of it and we got baptized in the Holy Ghost, we say, well, that happened when I accepted the fullness of the Spirit and I spoke with other tongues. No, this is a continual flow. This is a continual feeding. You and it's not a one-time thing. There was a man one time, he sought for 15 years to get filled with the Holy Ghost. After he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he didn't go back to church. The pastor had to go get him and say, what is wrong? He said, I got it. Does he have you? It's not just about what we get. It's about what he gets. Amen? All right. So I want your faith to rise now. Jesus said that there was more. Now, he's talking to his disciples. And he said there's going to be more than just salvation. And that more is that there's going to be another comforter, a paracletos, the one just like me, Jesus is saying. You're going to recognize him. The world won't recognize him because they didn't recognize me. That's what he's saying. He said, but you will recognize him because you know him. And he's going to abide with you for how long? Oh, don't that help us? Sometimes I sin, mess up. And see, the world wants to teach me, religion wants to teach me that the Holy Spirit leaves me because he can't dwell in an unclean temple. You can't get any more unclean than this flesh body. We've got to differentiate what the Scripture's saying. Rightly divide the word of truth. If that was the case, he wouldn't have come make his abode in any of us. Because this body, but he comes into our spirit because our spirit is in this flesh body. Amen? And because he comes in your spirit's alive forever. Amen? All right. So we got Jesus praying this prayer because he wants to take the goods that has been gave unto you and he wants to make them productive. He wants to make them to flow out of your life and out of my life. How does he do that? Because the Spirit of God rests upon you, abides within you, and empowers you to be able to see what has been gifted to you. You've got to see what has been gifted to you. All right, now stay with me. Look at verse number 17. Jesus says that this Paracletos, this one just like him, is called the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth, now notice this, mark this in your Bible, he dwelleth with you, but more importantly, shall be in you. So he's dwelling, he's abiding with us as we walk in this world, but Jesus wants us to know that after that baptismal experience, that he was going to be inside of you. See, so many times we're trying to pray and we're trying to pray down God's presence and there's times and seasons and different prayers for different situations, but we need to look within us. He's in you. And he will abide, he will meno, he will live inside of you forever. Didn't say no qualification if I be good. If I don't make any mistakes. There was only one that didn't make any mistakes. Amen? So here we are tonight. We're coming into a place where there's an increase of anointing in our life to reveal those goods that Jesus gave us to produce fruit. And that production of fruit is all because of His Spirit, because it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit. Thus saith, all right, so Jesus said in verse number 18, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. He says, verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, you shall live also. Now, he's preparing them for the time that he's going to go to the cross, and so he's getting them ready. So let's turn over to the 16th chapter, John 16, verse number 7. John 16, 7. Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter, the Paraclete, the one just like me, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will be able to, in other words, I will be able to send him unto you. So we need to build our faith on what Jesus has said. Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to send this another Comforter. He's going to abide with you forever, and he is the Spirit of Truth. That means everything about your life and my life is being guided to truth. What starts from truth ends with truth. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit is in your spirit and it's taking us to what God has destined us to do and to be. Amen? So let's understand. Now, I know that this is elementary, ground level, but we're building something. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Here Jesus is, and he tells them in verse number 4, Acts 1 and 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise, not a promise, but the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. We just read it. Amen? He said, for John truly baptized with water, but ye might be, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Glory. Now let's think about the power here. Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he freely laid down his life for you, for me. And he said, I lay my life down, and he said, the Father has gave me the power to pick it back up. Mark it down. We don't have time to go there, but Ephesians 1, about verses 19 and 20, tells us that the power of God was the Holy Spirit that worked in Jesus that raised him back up. Whew. Come on. Now, the power of the Holy Ghost that brought Jesus up out of that tomb and fulfilled all the promises of God back to Genesis 3:15 abides in you. Lives in you. Lives in me tonight. Amen? That's power. We're looking outside for all of these things about power to do this and power to do that. The greatest power of all lives and abides, stays, remains inside of you. Why can you do all things? Because the greater one lives in you. Amen? Now notice what Jesus says. He says in verse number 8, Acts 1 and 8, you can quote this scripture, but you shall receive what? Now that word power is the Greek word dunamis, and it means miracle. Miraculous working power. Oh, Jesus, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go there. I can't do it. Who's a liar? Me or God? We got to be careful. The Apostle Paul, quoting the psalmist, said, let man be a liar, but let God be true. Right. Let every man, that includes me. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. The devil wants to stop the witness. He's scared to death of the witness. Because the witness is something that is accepted in a court of law that is a fact. It's something that changes the mind of everyone that hears it. Amen? You've got a witness tonight that is anointed. You've got a witness tonight that originates from heaven because it came from heaven and exhibited itself by producing fruit in your life. Amen? It's yours and it's God's and it come from him and it's going back to him. But as it goes back to him, it touches everybody in this world. Amen? But you shall receive power and you shall be witnesses. The devil doesn't want us to get this. He wants us to walk around thinking, well, we better not get too loud and get too much attention. If I just stay hunkered down, I can make it through this life and take my last breath and step into heaven. God is so proud of you. He wants to show you off in this world. When he talked about Job, what did he say to the devil? Look at my boy. He will not deny me. Though you take everything away from him, he'll stand for me. God's proud of you tonight. He talks about you. Why do you think the devil comes against you so much? Because every time God talks about you, he shines a light on you, and it causes the devil to recognize and realize what God's going to do in you and through you, and he's trying to stop it. But you have a destiny. Ephesians 1:4. From the foundation of the world, amen? And you're going to live it out. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now notice verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, the disciples looked, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So Jesus said, when I go away, I shall send another comforter. So tonight, we've built our faith that Jesus has done one away, and we know he's ascended on high. We know he's on the right hand of the Father. So the comforter is here. And Jesus has gave me goods. Come on, where do you think the world got the term, he or she's got the goods? They got it from God. They can't come up with nothing on their own. God looks at you and he says, my boy, my girl, they've got the goods. I gave it to them. And I gave them the anointing to be able to produce fruit that will last. Amen? Hallelujah. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is operating in every blood-washed, blood-bought believer. Amen? And we need to help them see that tonight. They're walking around with their head down, just trying to make it through life. No, we're going to put the devil on notice in the name of Jesus, that we're going to take ground. Amen? We're going to take our family back. We're going to take this community back. We're not going to give up. We're not going to go out of here in a whimper. We're going to go out of here with a shout. Amen? And we're going to take people with us. Acts chapter 8. I'm trying to build our faith. To see, and there was supposed to be some people here, but that's okay. That's okay. Build our faith that there's something more than just being born of the Spirit. Acts chapter 8, you've got Philip. Just think about Philip. Jesus gave him goods. And he starts out, he's working tables. But because he's so faithful in that, God makes him evangelist. You realize what you're doing right now is nothing to what you're going to do when it's all said and done? You're being faithful in your call right now. And God always promotes faithfulness. Never fails. Amen? All right, another story for another time. Notice here, it says that verse number 5, Acts 8 and 5. Are you bored? Acts 8 and 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached his doctrine unto them. You know why we can't get people to come to Jesus? Because we're too worried about, let me tell you about my church. We don't have a church. Jesus has got a church. He said, I'm building a church, and in my church, the gates of hell won't prevail against it. In my church, I'm going to add to it daily. That's what we want, amen? We want people to come to a place where the gates of hell is stopped because of the church of Jesus, amen? So Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them, Christos. He preached the anointed one to them. And the people, with one accord, verse number 6, gave heed unto these things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, which the Holy Ghost did. Why? Because he had a gifting. He had the goods. He had the goods. Well, guess what? The Bible says that you have the goods. The Bible, out of the mouth of Jesus, as he talked to his disciples before he ascended on high, he said, you're going to have five signs that are going to follow you and chase you down. Mark 16, starting about verse 13, 14. He said, you're going to have these goods. You're going to speak with new tongues. The Holy Ghost gives you utterance. And you have the ability, after you get saved, born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, anytime you want to open your mouth and to pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit. And if you don't do that, and if I don't do that, we get weak. Because the Bible tells us that we edify ourselves. We build ourselves up. The book of Jude 1, down about verse 21 or something, we build ourselves up in the most holy faith when we pray in the Spirit. And so I'm talking about the grace to work the goods that God's gave you tonight. Amen? I'm talking about growing. I'm talking about maturing. I'm talking about allowing God to do it in you and through you where you don't keep having to push so hard yourself. Come on, for 15 years I tried to work in the ministry without the Holy Ghost. And I beat my head against the wall and beat and pushed and struggled and tried. Had very little, if any, success. But the moment that the Holy Spirit came on the scene, everything changed. Because the Holy Spirit always lifts up Jesus. All right. Verse number 7. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame and were healed. See, we think that all of this stuff about demonic activity is hung back in Bible times. Why do you think we're in such a mess right now? The devil has possessed people that you know. Probably in some of your family. It's in some of my family. You say, well, now you shouldn't be judging, preacher. I'm not judging. Jesus said that by their fruits you shall. So it's either the Holy Spirit, it's of the. There's only two sources. Amen? So it's not too hard. So I want you to see that Philip, he took the goods that Jesus gave him, and by the Holy Spirit, he preached Christos. He preached the Anointed One, and he put the devil on the run. Tonight, you and I can expect the very same thing. We can expect it. We can look for it, and we can operate in it because the Word says so. Amen? The Bible says that you're to those five signs, that you're to take up the serpent. Amen? You're to cast out devils. Raise the dead. Drink any deadly thing and it shall not hurt you. That's the promise. Jesus said these things are chasing you down. Everybody wants a good resume. Well, you know, spent a lot of time. I can remember trying to write out a resume before we had a computer and put all this and make it all look neat and mess up, start all over and start writing again. If you write like me, it's. But the resume that you have is from heaven. Amen? And Jesus, out of his mouth, said that these signs are following, operating, coming out of your life. And here we have Philip. These come out. And look what it brings. Look at the very next verse. Verse number 8, Acts 8 and 8. And there was great joy in that city. All because Philip recognized he had the goods. Now look, the devil no doubt come to him many times and said, boy, only thing you're good at is cleaning tables. What do you think you're doing? Ever heard it? Hear it every day. But it ain't what we once were. It's what Jesus says we are now. Now. Now faith is. Amen? Let's believe the Lord. Glory. Okay, so here he preaches the word to them. Now notice, I know we've got to hurry. I love this. Verse number 12. Acts 8 and 12. But when they believed Philip, now really what they believed was the word. Okay? But they believed the messenger. Preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were what? Both men and women. See, when somebody believes, they will do something. I have a hard time with somebody saying, oh, I believe in God. Really? But you won't come to church? You won't pray? You won't be a part of what he's wanting to do. And you tell me you believe God, you've got a problem. I'm sorry. You're either self-deceived or you're so caught up in yourself that you're missing the great things of God. Amen? Now, sometimes we've got to have tough love to people because we got to help them. Amen? Because if somebody wouldn't tough love on me, I'd still be where I was, and I don't want to go back. Amen? All right. So there was a change happened. Now, look. We won't get into Simon and all that. That's another story for another time. But look at verse number 14. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received Philip? No. And when they received the word of God, they said unto them, Peter and John. So when they heard that Samaria had received the word of God. Now, in other words, what happened? 1 Peter 1:23, Sister Victoria. Blessed be the God, 1:23, I'm sorry. Being born again, how did they get born again? Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? So they received the word of God and they got born again. They got saved. James 1:21 is the second witness. James 1:21. Concentrate on the middle part of the verse. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So here at Samaria, they got born again. They got saved. Hallelujah. Praise God for salvation. But when the word got back to the heads of the church, they said, how great that is, but we can't stop there. See, that night that the young man come to the altar, I knew that we needed to take him farther. But you can't take somebody where they don't want to go. Salvation is great, and praise God for it, but we got to have the Holy Ghost in a deeper measure when we've got all of these demons that are coming after us, that are fighting us. So they got the word, and what happened? They sent for Peter and John. Let's go back to Acts. Acts 8:15. What did they do? Who, when they were come down, Peter and John, when they were come down from Jerusalem to Samaria, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Well, wait a minute. They got saved. So they were born of the Spirit. So there is another experience beyond salvation. And tonight, if we haven't partaken of that, if we haven't stepped into that, then we need to know that it's available to us because Jesus, the head of the church, has ordained it. That's part of the goods. That's part of the grace to operate and to fulfill your destiny. Amen? When they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, this word receive, and this is what finally helped me so much. This word receive, if I went to hand this anointing oil to Brother Zach, he has to what? That's exactly what the word means. Lambano, it means to take. We're waiting for God to give us something that's already been given, but we've got to reach out and take it. All right, so verse 16. For as of yet he was fallen upon none of them. Who's the he? So we're talking about coming upon instead of. For he was yet fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, what did Jesus say there in Acts 1? He said, not many days hence, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And the word baptized is the word to make completely whelmed, to overflow, to submerge. It's the word like if you would take and you were a garment maker in the time of Christ, when you would dye a garment, you had to what? If you wanted the whole garment colored, you had to. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to submerge our whole life in the Holy Ghost. So what happened? Verse 17. Peter and John, see, everybody, there's certain giftings. Remember, they got the goods. Peter and John had a gifting here. And some people have this gifting today. Brother Hagin, God had equipped him with this gifting. And in the 1950s, he laid hands on 10,000 people. And they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And in 1959, the Lord told him, said, stop counting. Because it was getting... And so he stopped counting. He had a 70-year ministry lacking 2 months. There is no telling how many people got the Holy Ghost. So it's a gifting. So Peter and John, it's scriptural. They had this gifting. And they had the goods. And so they called them down. And look what it says, verse 17. Then they laid their hands on them, and the people of Samaria, those who were believed and baptized in water, they received the Holy Ghost. They took the Holy Spirit into a deeper level. They stepped off into the deep things of God, and they completely disappeared, and the Holy Spirit covered them, colored them, if you would, in his entire being. So tonight, what I want us to see is, yes, thank God for salvation to keep us out of hell. And thank God that salvation is working in our life. But we need to make sure that we're operating in the fullness that Jesus has designated us to operate in. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, this is for those who think it's a one-time experience. Ephesians chapter 5. Notice the teachings of the Apostle Paul. He says, starting in verse number 15, he says, see ye then that you walk circumspectly, that you walk exactly, not as foolish, but as wise. Verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. If they were evil in Paul's day, verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, don't be foolish, but understand, put it together mentally, what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord tonight? He's fixing to tell us. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And from the Greek, this is a continuous action verb where it says, be filled with the Spirit. And it really says, be being filled. In other words, you don't never stop drinking. You keep drinking because he said, don't be drunk as the world is drunk. Because how do you get drunk? One drink don't do it. And if you're going to stay drunk, you've got to keep. So tonight, we want to be in the place where we understand that it's the Lord's will. Now, when he says drunk, what does he mean? When you take something in from the outside, like alcohol, and it affects you, it affects your judgment, it affects your ability to operate, all of those things, because you take that in and it changes your whole being. So he's saying tonight it's the Father's will that we keep drinking of the Spirit of God, that we're completely changed. We change our way of thinking. We change our way of acting. He wants you to be laughing. He wants you to be joyous. He wants you to see and talk about ways that you wouldn't normally talk. Some of the greatest times that I have, because one of my weaknesses that I'm having to work on is that I have such a struggle with this mouth. And the attitude, and if I can ever get to the place where I'm put these lips to that vial of the Holy Ghost, it changes everything. Faith comes. Joy comes. the ability to see what God's trying to do in the midst of the storm and in the very yelling of the enemy. It changes it all. And tonight I want you to know that you've got the goods, but you've got the grace of God to be able to operate those goods. And the grace of God is the power of His Spirit. But you've got to take it. You've got to say, Lord, thank you for where I'm at. But I'm not satisfied. There's more. I want to drink more of you. And I want to be filled with your Spirit where I can operate freely. And I can depend upon and I can know that it's not my own strength. It's not my own ability. I can just rest in you. Amen. Now, I've shared this with you, but I'll share it again. For 15 years in my own life, I struggled about the Holy Spirit because I'd heard one teaching. I'd saw a bunch of stuff that wasn't right. And so I'd throw the whole thing out. Like they say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But then I come across some Brother Hagin books, and I started reading them, and then it drove me into studying this word, and I saw that there had to be an easier way. There had to be a better way. And so I made up my mind that I was going to let God do what He wanted to do. And so I'll never forget it. The night before, the girls had spent the night with the Granny Shirley and Papa Larry. And so Donna said, let's go get the girls. And I said, you go get them. You go ahead and get them. And I got something I need to do. And she said, what? I said, I just got something. And she said, okay, because she's always been very supportive. And so the moment she left, I went into my study room. And I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, I've been kicking against the pricks for 15 years. I've had this mess and that mess, and I'm not getting any younger. And if you want me to do what you call me to do, then you're going to have to help me. I repent for everything I've said wrong, everything I've done wrong, every mindset that I've had, believing false teaching, doing this and doing that. But I'm telling you now, I believe your word. And I asked you to help me take of that promise. I want to drink of your Spirit. Give me this wonderful baptism experience. There was absolutely no, people talk about supernatural feeling and praise God for supernatural. There was absolutely no feeling whatsoever because all of this started. This is August 25th, 2006. All of this started in 1991. I'd had the experiences at the altar with the doodads. And with the trying to speak in tongues and almost there but not quite. I had all of that. God wasn't going to go through that again. He said, if you want to speak in tongues, if you want to be baptized in my Spirit, then you speak by faith. And I'll meet you where you're at. The devil's saying, oh, don't do it. You'll get a false spirit. You'll get a false spirit. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I didn't recognize it as the devil. Now I do. And so I said, Lord, take my tongue. I literally went and I grabbed my anointing oil. And I said, Lord, I can't tame this tongue, but I know your word says that you can. And the only way I'll ever talk in the Spirit is if you tame my tongue. I took and I anointed my tongue. And I had a little altar bench there at the time. It's in the office now. And I laid my tongue on the altar. And I got up, and when I got up, I heard in my spiritual ear the same words that I'd heard 15 years before that I let the devil talk me out of. And I said, Lord, I'll speak it. And as I said that, I felt nothing. But then as I said it, oh my, the floodgates opened. The anointing fell, and there was such a peace. And Donna was gone for about 45 minutes. And when she come back, I didn't want her to come back. I didn't want anybody there because, now see, I told her Don't you do that. Don't you talk in tongues. Because I believed a lie. And being the obedient, loving wife, she done what she could do to nurse me along, bathe me be along, and get me to the place. Amen? But I had a hard time telling her. But it changed everything. Is it perfect now? No, because I'm not perfect. But He is. So tonight is my heart's desire that you let God anoint you in a deeper way. That you let Him take you. It's not a one-time experience. It's every day. Be being filled. And every day praying in the Spirit, you get stronger and stronger. See, so many times you don't know how to pray. The Bible says you don't know how to pray as you should. Not just you, me, anybody. But the Holy Ghost will give you unction. Because see, sometimes you get down here and you're praying, oh God, do this, do that, do this, do that. And you mean well. But you're seeing it from the flesh. And you're praying in a way that God can't answer it. But then when you say, Lord, I give my tongue to you, you pray about this situation. And you pray the perfect prayer. It comes from heaven, so it goes back to heaven. It's answered. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we honor you, we magnify your name. Father, I thank you that you have set together a group of people who have the goods. Lord, but they desire a deeper level, a deeper anointing of you to be able to operate in those goods freely. Freely. So tonight I ask, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, our eyes are not on any man, our eyes are on you. You are the baptizer, Lord Jesus. We ask that you would give us a fresh baptism in the Holy Ghost with the very new words in the Spirit, a new prayer language of depth, of power, of precision for this time that we're living in. Father, we bind every outside voice of the enemy, and we thank you that your Holy Spirit is inside of us and He speaks to us. You give boldness. Let us wax as bold as a lion to receive everything that you'd have for us tonight. And let us see that this is for us, not just tonight, but moment by moment. We ask these things, Father, believing that we're going to receive in fullness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar here before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be baptized afresh in you. I've heard your word. I believe your word. And I want more than I have. I want you just to help me to drink because I want to be totally drunk on you. I want to be totally influenced by you. I want to have the hope and the vision of you. I want a new prayer language to reach my family, to reach my community, to change somebody's destiny. Would you come tonight? Hallelujah. Would you come? I promise you, this message is straight from heaven, whether you believe it or not. And God wants to baptize you. Don't be afraid. I've wasted 15 years. I give you my testimony, my witness. I told you that if I could change it, I could, but I can't. I don't want you to waste one more second. Remember, we've proven it from Scripture that this is the Lord's will. This is the Lord's plan for your life. It's for you tonight. Hallelujah. Come. Please come. Don't be fearful like me. Don't let the devil hold you back. You say, well, what if I don't receive? There's not no what about it. God is faithful. Amen. It's not about you. See, that's what the devil kept me focused on me. On me. It's not about me. It's about God. The Bible says that the Lord is faithful. And He cannot operate in anything but in truth. Would you come? Make it 100%. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh.